Welcome to the Steelers Battle League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host relocated to Texas, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday?
Oh, James, I am fantastic. It's weird being an hour apart from you now. We're used to being on the same schedule more often than not, especially because we worked together. So that was, yep. We were really on the same schedule. But now I am in, like you said, the Lone Star State, enjoying my time here so far. If you can't tell, I haven't quite finished unpacking process, but there was a lot to do and it was a good time moving. Took 2 days to get here and stuff like that. Then drove my dad to the airport. It was a good time. It was a great time. But James, I'm doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's I'm excited, man. It's game week.
It's official game week.
A division rival this upcoming week. We'll talk more about the upcoming opponent on an episode later this week. We're going to do one Friday evening, most likely. That way we can get you guys an up-to-date on what's going on with the injuries and also our what's going on with the opponents, right? Yeah. Who's protected on the practice squad. It'll get us a little bit more of an idea what's going on. But before we get too deep into things, you know what it is. It's the first week of the month, which means we got to tell you about how last week month, our top states, our top countries.
Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? You want me to do states? You want me to do countries?
You do the states. I'll do the countries.
You got it. So August numbers, the top five states. It's not even top five. It's top states. Excuse me. top states. Number one, Pennsylvania. No surprise there. Number two, California. Coming in there. Ooh. Number two. Interesting to see them. Number three, Indiana. So thank you, Indiana, for joining the top three. Four, you got Kentucky, and then there was a tie for five, a three-way tie for five, I might add, with Florida, Ohio, and West Virginia. So one of you guys got to bump the other two down next month, and we got to see what's happening there. And James, I'm going to tell you, my goal right now is to get Texas on this list. So we'll see what happens.
Chances are good, I think, buddy. I don't know. Your presence down there is going to gain some listenership. I don't see what happens. Top countries from last month, of course, United States at number one, Canada with a strong performance at number two, and then Spain finishing in third in the top three there. So that's what we got going on. But there's so much to talk about on this 53-man roster, on the practice squad, what's going on with some injuries. Yep. But first things first. At the trade deadline, Pittsburgh decided to make some moves, man. Seemed to be a little bit thin on the outside linebacker position. We weren't real sure. Both Cody and I thought that Hamilcar Rashad Jr. would end up making a team. He did not. Not the 53 anyway. I think He's on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. But what Pittsburgh decided to do was go ahead and make a trade with the Denver Broncos, who definitely are a trade partner for them. That was who they traded with to move up to go get Devin Bush. Back when that was the trade. So Definitely a relationship already in place there. Pittsburgh gave up a sixth round pick for this upcoming draft class. And in return got edge rusher Malik Reed and their seventh round pick.
Great trade.
So all you did was move down one round.
And got a player.
And you got a player. Not just a player, but a pretty solid outside linebacker. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this, Cody. How do you feel about it?
I feel good, and I'll tell you what, if this was another position like offensive line or, you know, linebacker, or like middle linebackers, this kind of stuff, maybe not middle linebackers, but if it was another position, I'd probably feel more concerned about it. But with how Pittsburgh runs their front seven on defense, I'm excited about this because there will be a rotation involved. Malik Reed will get his chances to play, and I think that he could provide an essential boost to our backup defenders when they come in on rotations and stuff like that. We're going to be losing less now when you get TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith off the field. Malik Reed, very well, you know, his resume speaks for itself. He has some good stat lines. I'm excited to see him get some play time with the twos in the rotation and however he comes on, but I'm excited about the trade and only to swap picks too. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, now in it, such late round picks too. I mean, what do you really get for a sixth or seventh? Sometimes not. You know, you get a 4-string quarterback that doesn't make it past the second cut. Sometimes,
and so you could be looking at 10 picks apart or 20 picks apart.
Yeah, Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I love about this, A, he's only 26 years old. So if they decide to try to hang on to him past this deal, possibilities there. He's not real old yet, should be basically in his prime. Last year, he was able to tally 5 sacks. The year before, 8 sacks.
Great.
So that's great, man. You know, having your number one backup outside linebacker be able to get after the quarterback a little bit. That's what we need, right?
Absolutely.
Pretty much always been a pretty large drop off from the starters to the backups. Pretty rare that you get a high quality backup outside linebacker, and that seems like what they acquired here. But they weren't done there.
They weren't. They went off and traded a 2025 seventh round pick to the Vikings for their veteran guard / tackle, whatever you want to call him, Jesse Davis. He has playing time at both, who has 72 career starts, James.
A lot of them with the Miami Dolphins. I think it's pretty awesome to see this personally. Better experience. It looks like he's a better guard than he is a tackle, but you're going to have that sometimes. I'm not real worried about that. What it is a good quality upgrade to depth. When you look at it as far as who was kept on the 53, your backup interior guys, J.C. Hasenauer and Kendrick Green, right? Well, Kendrick Green proved himself to not be a good center, so he's number 3 at best at center.
Yep.
And struggled pretty heavily in the preseason at left guard. Honestly, if he wasn't a third-round draft pick, they probably wouldn't have kept him. So I think day one, you've got a guy that's a better guard at left guard and can play right guard where Kendrick Green has never played yet. So I don't know how confident you would feel putting Kendrick Green on the field on game day knowing that he can't play right guard because he hasn't even practiced at it yet. He's not good at center, and his best position appears to be left guard, which is also not good.
Yep.
So you had to upgrade there, and this is a guy with some good experience on the interior and in a pinch can play on the exterior. So I like it, and that's about as low as you can possibly go as far as collateral that you're giving up. You know, a seventh round pick in 2025. It's 2022 right now. So
you got time to make that pickup.
Yeah, absolutely. And how many times do you end up getting seventh round compensatory picks anyway? So chances are good that you're going to end up losing somebody, gaining a compensatory pick, and you'll still have a seventh round pick anyway.
Absolutely. After this trade took place, the original 53-man roster was announced, which already had changes to it. James, I don't know if you want to go over that original 53 or not. Changes have already occurred.
I mean, let's go over it to over it, like what the 53 is right now.
Yeah.
And as we're doing it, we can talk about the changes that has happened since then and kind of bring them into play here. So quarterback, no surprises, right? You know, we had Mason, we had our rookie Kenny Pickett, and then of course our starter Mitchell Trubisky, originally announced as Mason being the number 2. Day later they say that was a clerical error. He is now the number 3, which is what we expected. My biggest surprise there, honestly, was that Mason hasn't been traded yet, because I do feel like he's got some trade value. But that has not happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't. Probably to me that means that just nobody offered a high enough round pick. Omar Khan said, hey, bring it.
Yeah.
This isn't a good enough deal. Probably people offering 6-round picks and 7th-round picks, and he said, nope.
Or very similar to what you already said. You already said, you know, can this offensive line keep 3 quarterbacks healthy all year?
Who knows?
There may have been some great offers come in, and Omar had to say, you know what, we're going to hold off for now because we don't know what's going to happen with our quarterback health. So we'll see what happens there. The fullbacks and running backs that made the 53, Najee Harris, obviously Benny Snell, who I had not making the team, Jaylen Warren and Derek Watt, obviously making the team.
Which means we both missed on Anthony McFarland. We thought he was going to make the team.
Yep.
Unfortunately does not, but does make the practice squad. Also at the quarterback position, worth noting that Chris Oladokun was signed by the Kansas City Chiefs to their practice squad. I think that's notable because unless they use one of their 4 protected slots on him, that means he's eligible to be snagged away by other teams. So if something does happen where Mason Rudolph is traded away, Pittsburgh can literally just sign Oladokun back right off of their practice squad to their active 53, and there's nothing Kansas City can do about it.
Yep.
So they would have to keep him as one of the protected 4 to keep that from happening. So Keep an eye on that situation. If Mason goes somewhere, that could be a real, real easy transition to steal the young man back. Wide receivers, let's go there next, huh? We both hit, we both missed, right?
Yep, that's true.
So Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin the third, Miles Boykin, which was one that I hit that you had off. Steven Sims, which I did not have on the roster that you did have on the roster. And then Gunnar Olszewski, which we both had. The only other thing being Tyler Vaughns was one that you had.
Yep.
Didn't make the 53 and for some weird reason is not on the practice squad and also didn't sign anywhere else either.
Very strange.
Very odd. The kid had a real nice preseason. So that just kind of makes me wonder if maybe he's just holding out. Thinking that he can get a job back on a 53 and doesn't want to take a practice squad spot. Not really sure what's going on there. I don't know why they would have kept Cody White over him also.
I don't know.
As far as the practice squad, that doesn't make any sense to me. It seems like Tyler Vaughn, the far superior wide receiver.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Tight end room, we have Pat Freiermuth, Zach Gentry, and Connor Hayward. No surprise there. That's kind of basically what we expected. Especially when we went over this, Jay Sternberger was already released at that point. Offensive line, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, J.C. Hassenhauer, Dan Moore, Chukwuma Okorafor, and I'm missing one. Which one am I missing?
Originally, that was it.
That was it for the original 53.
Yeah, because then they signed Jesse Davis, so he would have been the extra one there. But originally, Trent Scott did not make the 53, but Pittsburgh did make some moves shortly after the original 53, which we're going to cover that. But he was one of the ones that was brought back onto the roster immediately following.
Yep.
Looks as though he will be the number one backup offensive tackle. They do have Jesse Davis listed as the top backup right tackle, but they just don't list one offensive lineman at multiple backup positions. So it could be that Trent Scott's actually the number one option at backup right tackle, but is listed at left tackle already. So they put Jesse Davis at right. Tough to say. I really wish they would have kept Joe Hagman. That's my biggest takeaway from this, is that I'm a little bit nervous if Dan Moore starts to struggle and is not able to get out of the funk that he was in those first two preseason games. He was a little better in that third one. What do you do? You're going to put Trent Scott out there? I think he's pretty bad, honestly. That makes me nervous. And it seems like of the four positions that Jesse Davis has played, both tackle and both guard, his worst position's left tackle. So you're not going to put him over there.
Nope.
So if Dan Moore really struggles, then you're looking at a possible entire offensive line shakeup and probably pushing Chooks over to the left and then maybe Trent Scott at the right. You can't put Dan Moore on the right. We saw that before. It was pretty awful.
I'm very intrigued with what we're going to have to do with this offensive line, because I think you're going to have to do some mid-season moves or mid-season something to make this work.
I think if one of the starters gets injured, you'll see a move like that day.
Yeah.
I think they'll either go out and sign one of these older veterans that's in their mid-30s that's still available, or they'll immediately make a trade with someone with a high-level backup that they think is someone that they can get by with.
Yep.
So I don't think that the story's over at the offensive tackle position. I think it's probably a little closer to being over at guard.
I would agree.
But yeah, tackle, I'm not sold that this is the final thing of what we're going to see here. Definitely could be some changes. And I think, like I said, if there's an injury, look for it to happen like 24 hours after the game, man.
Or less, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The defensive line, and James, the list I have may not be the original 53, so some of these may be wrong. You'll have to correct me on them. But we have Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, Montrevious Adams, Isaiah Loudermilk, Tyson Alualu, Chris Wormley, and DeMarvin Leal on the team.
Yeah, it's that seven. Nobody switched afterwards. Really, the only question we had was anything going to happen with Montrevious Adams?
Or Wormley.
Because he wasn't able. Yeah, or Wormley. Was Wormley going to get traded?
Yeah.
Was Montrevious Adams going to get pushed to the IR? Because he missed the whole preseason. So we didn't really know what was going on there with him. It looks like he's been practicing recently. Should be ready to go. We'll find out more by Friday. They'll give us a list on Friday of your questionables, likelies, probables, whatever. All right. So we'll see that stuff on Friday. We'll get a better feel for it, at which point we'll see what's going on. Also, Loudermilk, I'm curious with him too, because he missed a lot of time in those last two preseason games. You know, I thought he looked pretty decent in the first one, showing some good stoutness against the run, which that defensive line needs badly.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, but no surprises as far as who made the team. On a sad note, the top backup defensive lineman to those seven, in my opinion, completely unbiased, definitely not a fanboy of him in any way, Henry Mondo did sign with the New York Giants, but just to the practice squad. So he is re-stealable if need be. Also, Larry Ogunjobi lost the battle with Dan Moore Jr. for number 65. So he's actually switching over to 99.
Yep.
That's your new 99, Mondo out, Ogunjobi in.
Yes, sir. Want to go over linebackers?
Yeah, outside first, then inside?
Yeah, let's do that.
Outside, you got T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, of course. We now have Malik Reed, who was traded for right at the deadline. And we now have Jahmyr Jones also, which the Steelers claimed Jahmyr Jones off of waivers and in the process cut Derek Tuska, who originally actually made the 53-man roster.
Yep.
But now is not on the roster. And then when we waived him, he was claimed by the Titans, I think?
Titans.
Yeah, the Titans. So we lose Tuska to the Titans, which just seems to be the way that works. If you're an outside linebacker and you're borderline for Pittsburgh, you go to the Titans. If you're a starter and you leave because Pittsburgh isn't going to pay you, go to the Titans.
No, Tuzar Skipper was the Giants, and that's
where... Yeah, and he didn't have any say in that.
Right? No, and neither did... Bud Dupree did. Bud Dupree went to the Titans.
Bud Dupree did. Pittsburgh didn't re-sign Ola, and he went over to Tennessee. Bud Dupree went there because he was the highest bidder. Now Tuska claimed off of waivers. You can tell that there's some real similarities between the two teams with the way they're kind of picking off our
when your scheme fit matches another team's scheme fit, you got to make it work. So,
yep, absolutely.
It makes it easy to train guys.
Oh, absolutely. It's much less that you got to do, right? You're just teaching them the playbook rather than what they got to do because their responsibilities are so similar. Worth noting, this exact opposite thing happened last year. Pittsburgh originally kept Jahmyr Jones and then cut him and signed Derek Tuska. So it happens in reverse this year. It screams that they really wanted the special teams abilities of Jahmyr Jones. He was an excellent kick and punt coverage guy last preseason. I don't know how that worked out for him last year in the regular season. But we at least know that he showed big time in the preseason last year on kick and punt coverage capabilities.
Yep.
I think that's the main reason. It's not like he's a stud pass rusher or anything. Just very good on special teams, and your number four outside linebacker needs to be.
Yep. Middle linebackers, we have the obvious Devin Bush, Miles Jack, kind of the top two starters. Then you have Robert Spillane and Mark Robinson making the team. Now, they also made the move later on to sign Marcus Allen back to the active roster. So Marcus Allen is now in there as well, which I was actually surprised about that move. James, I don't know how you felt about it, but having four solid middle linebackers already, bringing back Marcus Allen, who, in my opinion, is just a special teams guy at this point. He's never going to get action in middle linebacker. He's a converted safety. He's not going to get action at safety.
Nope.
They had to have signed him specifically for special teams, and I'm not sure why.
I'll tell you why, because he's very good as an up back on the punt unit.
Well, okay, that's fair. We talked about that a lot.
That's 100% what it is. Because other than that, he doesn't seem to do a lot in tackling guys on punt or kick coverage. Doesn't, like you said, really shine on the defensive side, whether middle linebacker or at safety. His value is as the personal protector to Presley Harvin III. They tried a lot of other guys in the preseason, and we saw a few punts almost get blocked because you had smaller safeties trying. Like Trey Norwood was trying to do it, but I think he's still a little undersized.
Yeah.
You need a guy a little bit bigger than that in that 210, 220 plus range. Trey Norwood, not even 200 pounds. So if he gets a linebacker, running back, tight end, something like that into his chest, he's in a world of hurt, man. He's just going to get driven back real easily.
Yep.
So until he can get bigger and stronger, I don't think it's a realistic role for him quite yet. But give him another offseason. Let's see what he can do next year. The plus side of this is being that he was originally cut. Marcus Allen is no longer on that $2.5 million deal. So they saved like $1 million by doing it this way.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. cornerbacks. You want to go over corners?
Corners. We both nailed it. Well, I'm sorry. No, you had Justin Lane. So other than that, we nailed it. So we had, let me pull these guys up. I'm sorry. I wasn't looking. Akilah Witherspoon, Arthur Mollett, Cameron Sutton, Levi Wallace, and James Pierre. As of right now, they've got Akilah Witherspoon and Cameron Sutton listed as the starters, with Arthur Mollett listed as the starter in the nickel.
Yep.
Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I can't imagine Levi Wallace just riding the bench when Arthur Mollett is not as good in coverage.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think there's going to be more of a rotation between these guys than we've seen in normal past. I mean, James Pierre had a fairly decent year last year, sealing off the one game against the Broncos with an interception in the end zone. I think there's a lot that could be said about these guys. Again, Akilah Witherspoon and Cameron Sutton, however, those top two guys, don't expect them to sit out very often, if at all, in my opinion.
I think what we'll probably see is that if it's like third and short-ish, it'll be Arthur Mollett. If it's third and longer or an obvious passing down, I think they take Mollett out, put Wallace in, and slide Cam Sutton into the slot. I think that's your best cover guys, is Wallace, Sutton, and Witherspoon, as where Mollett's really solid against the run.
Yeah.
So I think they'll do it situationally. And in doing so, Levi Wallace will probably still get 15 snaps a game.
Oh, easily. I would be shocked if he didn't. And then also Justin Lane was claimed by the Giants as well. So another player to the Giants. Safeties, nothing surprising here. Minkah Fitzpatrick and Trey Norwood and Terrell Edmonds and Miles Killebrew. Miles Killebrew also being named, not to go too far, because we'll talk about this in a little bit. Miles Killebrew was named the special teams captain, which was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely because of those two blocked punts last year.
Yeah.
So phenomenal job on his part, and he earned that for sure. But we didn't expect anything different here, really. I mean,
nope.
It's kind of what there was.
Did you have Miles on yours? I forget.
I did not have Miles.
You did not? Okay. No. Yeah, that was the only difference we had there. I had Pittsburgh releasing. Let me get him pulled back up here. The safety. There he is, DeMonte Casey. I had him keeping Casey and then putting him on the IR, which is what they did. But I guess wrong as to who would come back on the roster. I said Elijah Riley, but I did nail that Casey was on the original 53. Just shows that they want to make sure he's able to come back. Rumor is looking about 6 weeks on the injury. So
yeah,
and then we see him as early as week 7, possibly coming back.
Yeah, before we get into the special teams here, Casey and Austin III both went on to the IR after this, which is why whenever we talked about certain players getting signed, the numbers, if you've been keeping track, wouldn't add up at this point. But that's because Calvin Austin III is on the IR now. So one less wide receiver. That brings us down to six. And we
six
were at
wide
seven.
Receivers.
So special teams, no surprise here. We nailed this. Chris Boswell, Presley Harvin III, Christian Kuntz, long snapper. Nothing more you can ask for out of those three guys. So
yep. No surprises. That's exactly what we assumed we were going to have. That's exactly what we got out of it. So worth noting, I want to go over the practice squad players real quick because I do think there's a couple guys that we definitely need to talk about here.
Yeah.
So let me get this pulled up. First one, they did sign a veteran safety. Andrew Adams is his name. He's played in 87 games with 35 career starts. So this is a guy with some pedigree, could be some insurance in case something were to happen. And with having DeMonte KZ out, this could be somebody that you call up on game day because he does have some experience there. 5'11", 202, so he's no small fry. Carlos Davis does make the team and is going to be wearing 73 now. I kind of thought he was wearing 73 already. Yes. I also thought I saw a number change for him. Now I'm confused.
I don't know.
Anyway, so Carlos makes it, but his twin brother Khalil does not. William Dunkel, the guard that they signed, I want to say on the second round of cuts, either the first or second round of cuts, they brought in two offensive linemen. Dunkel was one of them. He's on the practice squad now. One of the ones I'm most excited about, Mark Gilbert. He was trying out for the team last year, had a nice preseason. We put him on the practice squad, then he got stolen away. And then he actually had a fumble recovery that sealed a tie for the Detroit Lions against the Steelers. Nice to have him back. I think he was a developmental guy that you can actually do something with. He made the practice squad over the likes of Chris Steele. So this is somebody that they really liked and they were excited about getting back. I think that's pretty awesome personally, because like we talked about previously, we really needed to see a young person that could possibly be developed into a future contributor in the secondary. You know, yeah. We don't expect James Pierre to really develop past what he is, which is a number four or five corner. And then what do we have once we lose Wallace, Sutton, and Witherspoon, who are all 2 or 1 years left on their deals? You need somebody who can cover and play on the outside at 6'1", 192. He's got the size you're looking for. So yep. Excited about that. The running back out of New Mexico State, another Huntley. Back in the day, we had Richard Huntley. This is Jason Huntley.
Yep.
No clue if there's any relation or not. No clue.
Nope. No idea.
Also don't know a ton about him, but there he is. Also another corner, Josh Jackson. This is another veteran. A guy with 44 games experience in the NFL with 15 starts. 6 foot 196, the right size of what you're looking for. But again, someone you could call up if need be. And then John McGlue is back.
Finally.
I'm big on that one.
I'm big on that one. I am.
Yeah. I think John played pretty decent in the preseason, had some nice games. Flexible enough to play guard and tackle. So I could easily see him being the next man up if Pittsburgh has to resort to using Kendrick Green and decides that his play is too bad to continue with him. I see John McGlue as the next man in there. Ryan McCollum, the center, he was the one that was also brought in same time as William Dunkel. So the guys that they brought into the team after that first wave of cuts kept both of them as far as interior offensive linemen for the practice squad. So they must at least see something. He is a guy that has a decent amount of experience in the NFL. So you've got something there. And then we go to a couple of Steelers from the roster already. Cody, you want to talk about Anthony McFarland Jr. and Hamilcar Rashead?
Yeah, so Anthony McFarland Jr. is a guy that we've talked about for years, 3 years in the league out of Maryland. He's had some showcases in regular season games and preseason games. We got to see a little bit of him this preseason where he popped. He popped a little bit. He had the speed that we wanted to see. And it's exactly what we talked about we wanted to get from him, because he's not a run-you-over type guy like most of the other running backs on the team. He's more of a run-around-you and juke you up, which was kind of what we wanted. He also showed off a little bit in special teams, which was good to see. Didn't make the active roster, so that is what it is. Again, we talked about the linebacker, Rashid Jr. from Oregon State. He's only been in the league a year. He's 24 years old. Expect that if there's any kind of injury at the outside linebacker position, he's the guy to come in. He's easily the number one, in my opinion, unless something else happens and they sign somebody else. I'm not sure what happens there. You also got a rookie tight end, Justin Rigg from Kentucky. You have something to say about him.
I do, yes. It seems like he's a pedigree guy. The size and length that you're looking for at the tight end position. So this is an important move because Pittsburgh opted not to bring back Kevin Rader. So this is a young guy. He's an undrafted rookie. This is someone that they're going to attempt to develop and keep an eye on him. Let's see what they turn into, if they're able to turn anything into what he might be.
Heck yeah. After that, Elijah Riley, the safety that we just signed from the Jets. That's great. I like having him. Again, he would probably be my next safety on that I didn't have on, just because they went out and signed him. You don't just go out and sign a guy just to cut him and not have him on the team. That doesn't make any sense.
And he looked good in that preseason game. Only one he played in, number three. He had a couple of pass breakups, a couple of big hits, and I liked what I saw out of him. So I wouldn't mind seeing him on the field.
No, absolutely not. Chappelle Russell, another linebacker, 3 years in the league from Temple. I don't know much about him, but he's played in the league Again, at least 3 years of experience. He's 6'2", 236. He's played for both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So first time being in the North, we'll see how he fares in the snow. So, and then you got guys, the two next guys on the list are guys that we've also had a little bit. Delonte Scott, the linebacker from SMU, who was a rookie last year. And then Cody White, the wide receiver we've talked about a lot. Again, surprised they keep him over Tyler Vaughns. Very confusing. Not sure. Tyler Vaughns, again, in my opinion, deserves to be on a 53 somewhere with what we saw this preseason. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there. And then the last guy, defensive tackle, I don't know anything about him, but maybe you do.
I do. Rennell Wren. He's the size and length that Pittsburgh looks for in those prototypical 3-4 defensive end body types. So good length, 6'5", 318, good size. I want to say he was like a fourth-round draft pick too. No, so this is a guy with some pedigree. Pittsburgh loves grabbing guys like this and seeing if they can turn him into something. So he's a fourth-round draft pick by the Bengals in 19. So there is a guy there in Rennell Wren that they're probably going to attempt to see if they can pull something out of. Weird that a fourth-round pick is already out there, but you know what? We've got them too. Buddy Johnson didn't make the team, and we didn't bring him back on the practice squad. So that was a pretty big miss, but it looks like that just kind of happened with a few guys lately in the third and fourth rounds, right?
Yeah, well, if they can do that with Buddy Johnson, I expect to see that happen with Kendrick Green next year if something doesn't pan out this year, because you can't sit on a guy like that and have him not perform well. That's going to do it for that's going to do it for the practice squad. We talked about most of the signings. You know, Justin Lane to the Giants, Chiefs grabbed Chris Oladokun. Kevin Rader went to the Titans practice squad. And correct. Then, again, we added Joe Hag and Jesse James. Joe Hag and Jesse James went to the Browns, 53-man active roster. So sad to see those guys go, especially to division rival. That sucks.
Yeah. I thought that was noteworthy just because it seemed like Joe Hag was probably our best backup offensive tackle. Cleveland felt highly enough of him to go ahead and grab him after we cut him. And keep him as a backup offensive tackle, and they're supposed to be one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. So that kind of tells you something as far as what different people are looking at when looking at Joe Hag. Jesse James getting signed to the Browns, I'm just glad he's getting another opportunity. He's not that old of a player either, and could get some playing time there. It'll be interesting. Austin Hooper got let go in the offseason, so he'll be the number three, but he's, I think, day one, their best blocking tight end. So you might see him a lot in goal line. Hopefully they're not smart enough to throw the ball up high to him because he comes down with it every time.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see for sure. Team captains were announced. Let's talk about these guys real quick. We already talked about Miles Killebrew, the two offensive captains, which would be interesting if the starting quarterback changes, is Mitchell Trubisky and Najee Harris. So that would be interesting. And then the two defensive captains, now I forgot those ones, TJ Watt.
And Cameron Hayward.
Okay.
I believe Cam is like an 8-time team captain or something at this point.
It doesn't surprise me.
But this is new for TJ, so new role for TJ. I'm not surprised with Najee Harris because this is what they were grooming him for last year. This was the whole reason they took him in the first round, not in this most recent draft class, the one before, because they felt he had leadership capabilities. They wanted to be able to use him as a team captain in the future, knowing they were going to be moving on from Ben Roethlisberger. Really, the big surprise was Miles Killebrew. But when you look at his resume from last year, blocking two punts, first guy for the Steelers to do that since like the 60s or 50s or something, that's an extremely impressive resume. So he got the nod over Derek Watt. I believe Derek Watt was the special teams captain last year. So that's your big change there. And I think that maybe that's a little bit of foreshadowing with Pittsburgh too. You know, if you had Derek Watt as your team captain on special teams again this year, how do you move on from him after his contract runs out this year? Makes it a lot tougher. So I think this is a little bit of writing on the wall moving forward with Miles Killebrew. You don't really owe anything to him after this year, but you also don't owe anything to Derek Watt after this being the final year of his 3-year deal.
Yep. One last news piece to cover. James, you want to go over this one?
I do, man. It's a a player near and dear to my own heart. I think I got a Franco jersey hanging over there in the corner right now. Steelers decided today, they did a 1 o'clock press conference and made the announcement that they will officially retire jersey number 32 in the memory of Franco Harris. This is going to happen on December 24th, which is the game Christmas Eve against the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm glad they're doing that, because usually when there's ceremonies like that, the outcome is a little more favorable for Pittsburgh. And they really needed something to overcome the jinx of the Raiders, because the Raiders beat us like every time they play us.
Yeah.
Needed that badly. I'm happy to see it. I think it's well-deserved for Franco. Now the Immaculate Reception will go down as the last guy to ever wear that number 32.
Absolutely. And I'm excited it happens against that game, because that game holds a little bit closer place in my heart now. Not in my heart necessarily, but did I tell you this already?
That was the opponent of the Immaculate Reception too, so you know they did that on purpose.
Oh, 100%. Especially because the Raiders players and fans still think it wasn't a catch, which it absolutely was. But no,
tell me your story.
A buddy that I went to college with is on the Raiders practice squad right now. So,
oh, was that the guy that was on the Chiefs?
Yep, the Chiefs cut him, nice. And the Raiders signed him. He's currently on the injured reserve list, however, so he has to miss at least the first four games of the season. But he is on their practice squad. So,
currently, that's awesome.
That's exciting. I'm excited to see him play. I watched some of his highlights from the Chiefs preseason. He looked fairly good. So he didn't allow.
What's his name again?
Vitaly Guerman.
Vitaly.
Great guy.
This is a pro Vitaly podcast right here.
This is 100%. I'll support him no matter where he plays, unless it's the Browns. just kidding. So yeah,
super I wouldn't push that on him, because then he'd just be getting beat up by TJ Watt.
That's true. I tell you what, Vitaly is a big man. I don't know. I would be excited to see him start against a game against us and see how that went. I don't know. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. I apologize if I don't know how the audio sounds. It may sound a little different with this room and everything. Like I said, I'm not quite done unpacking here in Texas. But again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.